see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Third and final hour on this Thursday, June the 11th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Title of this story coming out of Lansing, Significant Day for Education. Focuses on the gold standard of dyslexia training. As chair, Republican from Holland, Nancy DeBoyer, gaveled out of the House Education and Workforce Committee, saying it was a significant day for students in Michigan, to a packed committee room that overflowed into another room showed exactly that. What was before the committee yesterday morning was House Bill 5081. Representative Kathy Schmaltz, Republican from Jackson's bill that requires each school district to train at least one teacher in a specific multi-sensory teaching method used for students struggling with dyslexia. Schmaltz, the author of the bill, was on the Michigan Dyslexia Institute board for several years and said that the Orton-Gillingham approach works. Under a proposal, each one substitute that the committee did not vote on, a minimum of 30 hours of training at Orton-Gillingham through the International Dyslexia Association or the Michigan Dyslexia Institute would be required, with 10 hours of updated training each year. Initially, teachers would have to get 30 hours of training and then have updates, 10 hours of training every single year. The substitute also puts the implementation date starting January 2027, this upcoming year. During Schmaltz's time on the board, she saw children that could not read a thing until they went through the Orton-Gillingham training. With that, they began to read. Their grades went up, leading them to have improved confidence and overall better health. That's interesting. I've seen too many young people with dyslexia pass through school not getting the help they need. We have to have laws to test kids for dyslexia. We don't have a law to train teachers to teach our kids who who have dyslexia. Kristen Joseph, a learning specialist at Northwest Early Elementary School, described a moment when she was struggling, even losing sleep, to get a student how to read and write. She was frustrated. And when she learned that the student had dyslexia, she had no framework to help that student. I have a master's in education. Why have I never been taught this? We're going to continue this story on the other side because it goes into great details about all the problems potentially that could be solved with this new training. Dyslexia training for teachers and students. Short break. We'll be right back.
This is Perry Johnson, the Trump conservative for governor. I'm an outsider businessman, not a career politician. I spent my life bringing quality and efficiency to over 60,000 companies. In fact, they call me the quality guru. My first priority as governor will be my mega audit, the Michigan Efficiency Government Audit, that will find the fraud in state government and Jocelyn Benson's election office and eliminate it. By implementing my mega audit, we will save the taxpayers millions and return it to you with my 4747 income tax elimination plan and property tax reform. My Perry Johnson 4747 plan will put $4,747 in your pocket every year. And seniors deserve a better deal on property taxes. This message paid for by Perry Johnson for governor. And I approve this message so that we can finally bring quality and efficiency to state government.
The W Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experienced nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788. This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Impetoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Impetoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Some very important legislation was being considered in committee yesterday in Lansing. House Bill 5081 that would require each school district to train at least one teacher in a very specific multi-sensory teaching method to help students struggling with dyslexia. Again, Kristen Joseph, learning specialist at Northwest Early Elementary School, described a moment when she was struggling, even losing sleep, and trying how to figure out how to get a student to read and write. She was frustrated when she learned that the student had dyslexia, but she had no framework to help the student. Joseph said during the hearing, "I have a master's degree in education. Why have I never been taught this?" But that's what really began me on the journey to learn and to learn about dyslexia. I took the Orton-Gillingham training and then became a learning specialist. For the last 17 years, I've been in that role. I'm just thrilled that we are finally acknowledging and addressing this problem. Both Joseph and the state rep, Schmaltz, who introduced the bill, described Orton-Gillingham as the gold standard that falls under the structured literacy umbrella, but is more tailored to exactly what a dyslexic student needs. She added that it focuses on learning sounds, syllables, and spelling patterns. Rebecca Hutchinson, superintendent of Concord Community Schools, said that they've seen very significant success after they just finished their first year of implementing Orton-Gillingham. She said that their data has shown that at the end of the year, 54% of their students made more than a year's worth of growth in just 9 months. That type of growth happened with our readers who were struggling. The power of Orton-Gillingham really is clear in our district. She spoke about the importance of this bill for her, pulling on her experience as a mother with a dyslexic son. When he was in first grade, his teacher, who had been teaching for 50 years, was by far the best reading teacher in the district. And she accused her son of simply being lazy. It didn't take long after he was diagnosed and received tailored instruction that he received an award for both reading and language arts. Representatives were generally supportive and agreed about the success of the program, mostly asking questions about the semantics of the substitute. They did have, however, concerns over the legislation being a duplication of existing bills. State Representative, again, Matt Colazar, this very liberal Democrat from Plymouth, questioned how the legislation fits with a bill they voted on to advance to the floor at the beginning of the hearing, House Bill 5697. It allows the department to include multiple vendors, which could include the one using Orton-Gillingham. Smaltz answered and said very simply, "This is very specific. International Dyslexia Association and the Michigan Dyslexia Institute. We want to have the gold standard, and that's who they are. I've seen it. I know exactly what they do. And we need it, and we want it here in Michigan." When you look at other different vendors, there are different ways to do this. They do things perhaps differently. However, in my opinion, this is the gold standard taught by these two groups. And as far as the other vendors are concerned, there's no reason why they can't compete. However, I want these two vendors who are proven in the Orton-Gillingham method to be able to teach it. And that's why we specifically singled them out and included them specifically in the bill. Well, the bill moved through committee immediately following the testimony. The other bills they also considered during the committee process. Even though the bill itself was voted on without full Democrat support, they also passed HB 5044 and 5646, 57, and 58. House Bill 6016 also moved through committee. It didn't have a breakdown of those bills, exactly what were in those bills, but they did a lot of work and moved a lot of bills out. And again, it was the House Education and Workforce Committee. Now, why is this so important? Because of the timing of the budget process. They're talking about getting the school aid fund budget passed first and hopefully getting that to the desk of the governor by June 30th. Not necessarily dealing with the general aid fund and creating what's called commonly known as the omnibus bill, where both the school aid fund and the general fund are combined and one big beautiful bill is sent to the governor. Well, it doesn't appear that's the way they're going to do it. It appears that they're laser focused on the school aid budget, and that's what these bills directly affect. Is there a cost for this training? Absolutely. And Lansing is looking at adopting and paying for it. Where will the money come from? Well, that's what they're working out the details on. Another committee testimony kicked off yesterday on a proposal to allow multiple small business owners, regardless of what industry they're in, to group together to buy health insurance policies for their workers. Small Business Association of Michigan, SBAM, officials believe that Senate Bill 1011 works because it allows multiple businesses to team up in a joint risk pool where premiums are saved to be able to pay for medical bills, making employer-sponsored health insurance cheaper. Brian Kelly, former lieutenant governor, is the president of SBAM. He said in talking to reporters, if you take an employer like, let's say, the state of Michigan, the largest employer in the state, they have enough employees to where they have their own risk pool. They do and design their own health insurance program that benefits them. They have health and wellness initiatives to try to lower costs and utilization. They're also able to negotiate with the major hospitals, local medical groups, because they have such big purchasing power. Most small businesses are nowhere near big enough to be able to create their own risk pool. Therefore, they're just buying insurance off the rack, and that's really, really expensive. Galley said that the key is that by allowing multiple industries to pull together, small business owners will have the same insurance buying power that large employers have currently. SBAM oversaw its own association health plan, AHP, line up for their members back in the fall of 2018 until the Federal Department of Labor rules struck such programs down just a year later, March of 2019. The federal rule permitted small employers and working owners to essentially band together, qualifying for a group health plan. However, arguments surfaced that the practice allowed multi-industry employers to purchase skinny plans, quote-unquote, that were totally inadequate. Testifying on yesterday's bill in the Senate Health Policy Committee, which would require AHPs made in the state to comply with the Federal Affordable Care Act, was SBAM's Chief Revenue Officer, Michelle Beebe. Beebe said that when SBAM was able to establish its own AHP, it was able to provide access to affordable health care to hundreds of employers and thousands of employees. The impact was real. We lowered our costs compared to traditional small health group plans. We got greater predictability year over year on claims experience. And most importantly, increase our access to coverage that many employers otherwise couldn't offer. We heard directly from the members that this was not just a benefit, it was a lifeline. Another person testifying was Greg Brogan, a SBAM member and owner of an East Lansing-based employees benefit insurance management company. He described how many of his own clients have experienced annual health care increases far exceeding 20 to 25%, far outpacing inflation and wage growth. Brogan said he now has clients whose family insurance premiums are more than $2,500 per month. He said that's almost as much as a mortgage payment on a very nice home. Think about that for a moment. Employers are increasingly being asked to spend as much on health insurance as they would be to buy a home for an employee to live in. Beebe said on Tuesday she golfed with a certified public accountant that has 18 employees. She said he's already removed himself from offering employer-sponsored coverage. We simply can't afford it. We're not doing it. Without employer-sponsored coverage, his workers now have the option of purchasing coverage on the Affordable Care Act marketplace. Well, the bills introduced would create Michigan's own marketplace. We're going to get into the rest of this after the bottom of the hour news break, hour number 3. Final half hour of today's show. We'll be right back.